So we're up to Beis Yosef part two. We began last week. We walked through the beginning of his life. We walked through, he was born in Spain. This is before the Spanish Inquisition, right before. And then he leaves, he's on the move, and he then goes to Spain, Portugal rather, lives in Portugal for a few years, and then leaves Portugal. After Portugal, he goes and he heads out to, like we mentioned, one of the countries that embraced all the Yidden, and literally, Turkey, exactly. Turkey went and embraced all the Jews because they knew good and well that it would bring them, you know, a prosperous economy, and everyone moved to Turkey. Now again, Greece at that time, I don't know the exact history. Clarify again, I'm not a historian, nor an academic, but Salonika and Saloniki and all these places which were in modern day Greece were part of the Turkish Empire, if I'm not mistaken, and they would all travel, because there's big Jewish communities in all these cities. Many Italian cities, Italy was already further away, Greece and Turkey, and he was in Turkey. He lived till in Turkey until he was about 48. Okay? And then he goes to Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to go through some of his svarim. We're going to go through how he was zeich. So we're going to do some show and tell. The Chida, as we mentioned, wrote a sefer. It's called Shem HaGedolim. Shem HaGedolim, if you ever want to know anything, who's who, he'll basically bring you. Again, the Chida lived in the 1700s. And he was definitely well accepted in the Sephardi world and the Ashkenazi world. He wrote crazy amounts of svarim, crazy amounts, both in halacha, in drush, in kabbalah, in everything, in gemara, you name it, he wrote svarim on it. So one of the svarim he wrote was called Shema Gedolim. Shema Gedolim is the name of the Gedolim. It's pretty straightforward, two parts. It has Mareches Gedolim, going by name, Avraham, Yehuda, Baruch, and then he has Mareches Svarim. So the Beis Yosef has four different entries. You have to go searching through the whole sefer. He has by Yosef Cairo. He has by Beis Yosef, his pirush on the tour. He has by Kesef Mishnah, his pirush on the Rambam. And he has Shulchan Aruch. And now go find what? Tshuvas were written posthumously. They were written after he died. Avkas Reuchel was right, the dust of the peddler, the literal translation. And that was Tshuvas of the Beis Yosef. They also have something called Tshuvas Beis Yosef. So, again, they were both written after his death, so that already leads to a lot of naysayers. Because he didn't print it in his lifetime. What happened? But the Chida goes and tells over that he has a Masorah. Now, if the Chida wouldn't write it, I would definitely scoff at this story. But it's the Chida, so too bad. So the Chida goes and says there were three Yosefs that were worthy of going and writing, being the authors of such a work. Literally compiling the entirety of Halacha, and then, again, like we've mentioned, taking all of Shas and really organizing it, that's what the tour did, and then compounding that and expounding on that is what the Beis Yosef was coming to do. So, what did he do? He wrote the Beis Yosef, which went through all the Rishonim, and many people could have done that. There were three different Gedolim, all with the name Yosef at the time, who were in the running. What happened? Who were they? The Ketzais very often quotes the Mari ben Leib, Rabbi Yosef ibn Leib. He was a Greek, he lived in Saloniki over there, and he was one of the biggest Gedolim of his time. He wrote Tshuvas, again, the same generation. Then there was Rabbi Yosef Taya Tatzak. Try to say that 10 times fast. Rabbi Yosef Taya Tatzak, he was in Turkey. He was, again, arguably, of the three, the biggest bucky in everything. And then there was the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef Cairo, who was from Turkey, moved to Tzfas. He started writing Beis Yosef when he was still in Turkey. So, how did he get it? So, the Chida goes and writes because he was more respectful to his opponents.
What does it mean, how did he get it? They all wrote something?
How did he get the reputation?
No. So, the Chida goes and writes that in Shamayim, again, this is why you have to have the Chida to get the story. In Shamayim, there was a back and forth anyone could write it. Who will we avail the opportunity and the schus of writing this handbook for Gans Klal Yisrael? So there's three Yosefs who are able to. Who are we going to allow? Meaning, Megalgilin schus al yidei zakeh, the Gemara says. We only allow a big schus to happen with someone who has schusim. So who's going to be the guy? They could all write it. There are many svarim that many gedolim of each respective generation could have written, but somehow the ketzos made it. We're going to get to him 1 week. And he made it. Every yeshiva learns ketzos. Every choshe mishpah koyel learns ketzos. There's no one who doesn't. There were other...
When you say made, do you mean like literally physically made it, or like he made it to us?
Both. That he actually wrote it, that he was able to write it, able to print it, and that it was well received and well accepted. Because that, by Jews, is the biggest feat. By a bunch of Yidden to embrace it and to literally...
Universally.
So we're going to get to, we probably won't have time tonight, so we're not going to do a part three. There's so much to talk about. So what happened? They tells over a story. So the Beis Yosef went and he got the ability to go and write it because when he had a machlokes with someone, he didn't degrade and he didn't go and knock them. He disagreed with them. Whereas the other ones were very sharp and fierce, and he goes and he tells a story that he heard from his Rebbe b'Misoira, that this story actually happened with Rabbi Yosef Tayetatzak. Rabbi Yosef Tayetatzak had a yeshiva, obviously of elites, and in his yeshiva, they had a bucky, who they had 60 different bikiyim, who were a bucky in each different mesechta, in Mishnayis and Shas. And they would go, and they journeyed through Shas, trying to compile their own Beis Yosef. But there was one rule. You're not allowed to open up a Beis Yosef. Absolutely not. Because we have the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yosef Tayetatzak here, and he could write the same thing. So, we're going to do it ourselves. And whenever they would get to a Gemara, or they get to Halacha, they would say, no, it's in Megillah. Megillah Yid, where are you? Spit it out. Uksin Yid, where are you? Spit it out. And if they ever got stuck, they would go to their Rebbe, and he would say, it's here, and this is the Halacha, and this is how we go, and this is what the Rishonim say, and here it is. Vayihi Ayoim, one day, says the Chida, you can find it, it's here. Anyone wants to see it, this is like an open book. It's right here. Says the Chida, Vayihi Ayoim, Rabbi Yosef Tayetatzak, in his yeshiva, they get to a certain halacha, and they cannot source it. They go through all their 60 Talmidim, each one a bucky in their own right, cannot source it. They come to Rabbi Yosef Tayetatzak, and they say, Rabbi Nu, Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu, and he blanks out. And he says it was the first time he ever could not recall a part of Torah. So, without any choice, he says, bring a Beis Yosef. They open up the Beis Yosef. He sees the source, and then he remembers, oh, that's where it is. And Rabbi Yosef Tayetatzak says, I see that Min HaShamayim. They gave me this punishment to teach me that he received the Siyata Deshmaya to pen the Beis Yosef, not me. And to show me, they made me forget. So, he went and he wrote the Beis Yosef. Then, now we have it. And as we mentioned before, he then writes Shulchan Aruch to go and sum up the Beis Yosef. And it gets a little tricky because you have to make sure and really follow it back that the summary equals his conclusion in the Beis Yosef. Sometimes it doesn't. That's where it gets exciting, right? And then we have to go and go through each part of Shulchan Aruch and each one of the four Shulchan Aruchs and see, there's many times Hilchas Pesach converges with Isser V'Heter, Basar V'Cholov. And does it all shtim? Does it all, you know, coexist in harmony? Not necessarily. So then we get, that's where the Nosei Kelim come in and try to explain everything. So what was the opposition? He had a lot of opposition. A lot of opposition. Many different points. So mainly the Marshal was very, very upset. Very, very upset. His fellow Svardim were very upset. Because what you're essentially doing is you're cornering the market, Ki'ilu, of writers, of Mechabrim, and saying this is going to be the law of the land. Who are you? So again, it's very hard to understand this because now Shulchan Aruch is it. But there was a lot of pushback in his generation until it was received. But again, he definitely had the Siyata Deshmaya. And here we are. He is the last.
That nobody should do it, or that
that no, that he should be just another opinion like the rest of us. It shouldn't be accepted by Klal Yisrael because as authoritative.
But what's he saying that he should be? Maybe
No. So if you look in one of his So it's funny. Because if you look in his fourth sefer, which we mentioned before, his fourth sefer was the Magid Meisharim. The Magid Meisharim was a sefer also written after his death. A sefer that he learned with a Magid. The Magid being a Malach who came to learn with him b'chavrusa. So, a lot of Aramaic there and a lot of interesting things. The Beis Yosef writes over there, he said, you know, this that you do, that you learn Mishnayis all day, and you're a Bucky in Mishnayis Baal Peh. The Beis Yosef. Right? He would just learn Mishnayis. It's a wonderful thing, says the Malach. In Shemayim, they love it. And, you know, you're really accruing a lot of Zchusim, and this is the way to do it. And one of the things that they speak about is that, and your aspiration, your hope, that your Svarim should be widely accepted, fear not, they'll be accepted. This is what the Malach tells the Beis Yosef. And this that you want to have Talmidim, v'hamidu Talmidim harbe, so in Tzvas, it's so unfortunate. Well, we'll talk over the week if we're going to do a part three. In Tzvas, he was known as a Rashiva. He was a Rashiva. He was not the Pesach. He was the Rashiva of Tzfas.
When was this around?
This was, he was born in 1488. He lived a very long life, 80 plus years. So he was in Tzfas from roughly 1540 to about 1580. 1540 to 1580. Who was there? The Arizal, Reb Shlomo Alkubetz, they all dive in the same shul, right? The Rama was at the tail end. The Rama was in the 1500s, but he was much younger. And he also was nervous about that. It was one of his concerns, one of his hopes that, you know, I should be able to have a yeshiva, and I should be able to teach Talmidim. So then there's so many different parts here. He also was embroiled in a big machlokes called the Smicha controversy. It was one of the heaviest controversies of its time, by far. So it starts with the Rambam. The Rambam goes and says that we could reinstate smicha, right? There's smicha by Karbanos, where you push down the, right? And then there's smichas chachamim, where there's Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin can go and ordain someone that they may paskin, right? So our smicha nowadays is a zecher. It's simply a zecher of what was. It's definitely needed, and you should, you know, before you start passing, you have some sort of, you know, exposure and experience in that field, but it's not smicha of smichas chachamim that they used to have back in the day. So the Rambam goes and writes in Hilchos Sanhedrin, I believe, that it could be reinstated if there's a unanimous, you know, all the chachamim get together and reinstate smicha, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, even though we don't have a Sanhedrin, you can revive it. So, the Mari Beirav, right, the Beirav Shul, anyone ever heard of it? The Mari Beirav, Yaakov Beirav, he was one of the Rosh Yeshiva back in Spain already. Spain, Portugal, came to Tzfas, set up shop in Tzfas, and he wanted to reinstate smicha. And he did. Single-handedly, which led to the machlekes, right? Because that's where you're going to go wrong. So he reinstituted smicha, and again, once you get ordained, you now have the ability to receive and to give. So here it is, it's now live, right? It's now like a starter. And now it's live, and you can go and pass it on. So the Beis Yosef went, and he gave smicha to the Mabit, who was the same tkufa, also a Talmud of the Mari Beirav, the Mabit, the Alshich got smicha from the Beis Yosef, and others.
The Beis Yosef held the smicha.
Yeah, of course, he received it, embraced it, and passed it on. In Yerushalayim, the Rav of Yerushalayim, Reb Levi Ibn Chaviv, the Maral Bach. Reb Levi Ibn Chaviv, he was the son of Reb Yaakov Ibn Chaviv. Reb Yaakov Ibn Chaviv is the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov that you find on Agadas, the Ein Yaakov is basically a summary of all the different Agadas and Gemaras with all the Pirushim in literally a full hekif, a full all the different Gemaras all put together. It was written by the Ein Yaakov, who was Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Chabib, lived in the early, late 1400s, early 1500s. His son, Reb Levi, was the Rav Yerushalayim, and he went and said, no. You didn't check with me. Not that you had to have checked with me, but I don't agree with this reinstitution of smicha. And if you don't have me, it's over. Because you don't have the askama of all the good, of all the chacham of the dar. I'm the Rav Yerushalayim. If you didn't check with me and get my okay, it doesn't get off the ground. And there was a big machlek. There's full svarim written about this very topic. And it was called the smicha controversy, and the Beis Yosef was right there smack in the middle of it. But he went, and it died down. By the second generation, they already didn't pass it on. We do have smicha, and it's still, you know, present, but it's not that smicha, nor the original smicha. But that's just the Beis Yosef. Now we're going to have to get to, we're going to do next week, we're going to do a final part three, because we're going to get to what he wrote, who was against it, and again, go through a few more klalim, general rules, how you learn the Beis Yosef, and the Ramah and the relationship. Because, in truth be told, the Ramah really was the one, again, this is like, any Sephardim? This is like an Ashkenazi guy twisting history, and I'm about to do it. But there's a lot to be said that the Ramah really put him on the map. How? Because had the Ramah written his own pirush, which he was thinking about, so it would have been, okay, two camps. There's the Sephardi camp, Ashkenazi camp. The Ramah chose to bow to the Shulchan Aruch, thereby making it the handbook for everyone. Because wherever he doesn't disagree, he agrees. So now we have one book for everybody. The Ramah really pulled that off. Because by essentially bowing to the Mechaber, to the Shulchan Aruch, he ensured that Klal Yisrael will accept it. So we're going to have to get there, where they disagree both on every level. He has a Darkei Moshe. We're going to have to get the Ramah as well. To be continued. Shkoch.